Star Market Celtics tonight continues from TD Garden back home to start a home stand, which, if you've forgotten, means consecutive games at home without having to travel. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards, save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. I think we were in Minnesota when Dave Benz, who's one of the broadcasters for the Timberwolves, first brought up this kind of wonky, crazy stat that this is the 15th and final game of a stretch in which you have to travel to every game. You probably were aware it was a crazy schedule. Were you aware at the start that it was that long without consecutive home game?
No, I never really looked at it. I mean, I think when you get the schedule at the start of the year, you always look at where are the back-to-backs, how often you change time zones, where are the late nights at. I don't really look at the long stretches as much as I probably should, but it's good to be at home for a couple of days and get ready to play this homestand, which will be a tough one.
And particularly interesting, even starting tonight. I want to go back to Saturday only for this. It occurs to me that, you know, there's the whole second line of back-to-back thing, and it was crazy how statistically similar that game was to the Dallas game, which was the other game you've lost in the last 3 or 4 weeks. It seems statistically and in all other ways impossible for everyone to be off, for everyone to have a bad night. Obviously, everyone didn't have a bad night, but it sort of felt like one of those almost team things going into that game and through the first quarter kind of slogging your way through.
I agree. They were better than we were that night. They were really aggressive. They were really locked in. They made shots at the start of the game. And even though we were in it, you know, I felt like we were maybe a half step behind. And they deserve credit for that. They played great.
Once in a while, I'll refer to the numbers, defensive numbers and the offensive numbers in the league. And there's been a little bit of a fall off in the quote-unquote defensive numbers over the last few games. You mentioned this after the Friday game specifically, and maybe there was a little bit of it in the Saturday, but sometimes there's a, you know, knee bone connected to ankle bone thing. Sometimes it is offensive problems, right, that lead to issues on the defensive end.
No, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, I just saw Joe Prunty out there on the court, and, you know, that reminds you of when we played last year in the playoffs when he was coaching Milwaukee. I mean, I thought that, you know, those games in Milwaukee, we didn't have much of a shot in large part because of our decision-making as far as shooting it and getting blocked. And, you know, that leads to transition opportunities, and it's hard to guard teams that are going 3-on-1, 2-on-1 down the floor. And then I thought our pick-and-roll defense was a little bit off in both those games last weekend, and we've worked and talked a lot about that the last couple of days.
As you know, you don't get this 3-day break again until the All-Star break. And for a coach at some level, it has to be, we're going to see a lot of kids' faces on Christmas morning with that excited look in their face that I imagine 3 days off has that sort of same appeal. Is there a tendency, a fallback to overthink what to do with these days, or are we so immersed now in rest culture that that is so far and away what is at the forefront of our mind that comes first?
So I think the two things you have to look at when you have a break is what led to it, or what was the schedule like leading up to it, and what is it like behind it. And in both cases, it's intense. So the number one thing out of these 3 days, both for the near term and the long term, is you have to rest appropriately. And then it's what do you need to do. So it's not like you're going to overhaul anything in the practice day yesterday or in the film/group work day on Monday. You're just doing little things to help each guy get a little bit better. You're just doing little things to get your team a little bit more locked in. You know, I actually did not add anything. I just spent most of the time locking us into what we do best.
The Suns have won 3 straight, remarkably. If we think back now, you caught the Knicks on their best week of the season. The Pistons were undefeated when you saw them. Why aren't you playing the Nets this week?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. You know, I think Phoenix, you know, and I said this yesterday, we're playing them at their best stretch. And as you mentioned, they've got a nice mix now, and it's centered around their young players. You know, sometimes when those guys can just go out and play free, I mean, they are working hard. They are playing hard. They're sharing the ball. I'm assuming practices are great. Shoot-arounds are great. Like, you're in college mode in a lot of cases. And, you know, I think that their youth and enthusiasm, plus the way that Crawford is playing with those guys, has really elevated them the last 3 games. And really, I mean, I watched all 3 games. None of them were really even close at the end. and they've played great.
As we have seen now, the players and the younger players that are trickling into the rotation now tend to give you a little more defensively, which is not surprising on a lot of levels. How much of their defensive numbers that they're putting up in this three-game run, and even a little bit before that, are sort of, they seem to have gotten Devin Booker off the ball a little bit, and that's taken pressure off him. That seems to have helped.
Yeah, off the ball, and then he scores 38 or whatever
exactly
he does the other night. So he is he's such a weapon offensively. But I think the guy that probably is getting, you know, not talked about enough at the national level even is T.J. Warren. He's having a great year, shooting 55% from two, 45% from three. You know, the knock on him coming in was how would his range be? And he's improved and improved and improved, and he's become a heck of a player. He's always had a knack for putting the ball in the basket on floaters, on tip-ins, on loose balls around the rim. I had a college coach tell me once he's the best he's ever seen at picking up a loose ball and finding a way to get it in the net. He's just got a knack for scoring. And, you know, they got a lot of guys that are doing a lot of good things. And then, you know, it's funny because you never hear about the number one pick in the draft, and he's averaging 16 and 10.
It's a lot of talented young players. Do you keep a bag packed just in case? Is it going to be weird to not get on a plane tomorrow? It's going to be.
You know what's funny is I'm sure you're the same way. My suitcase is still, like, right next to my bed, and it's like, half full. And, you know, we don't travel till the 26th, but, you know, the 26th is going to be here before you know it, as you know.
Well, that was a very optimistic thing to say because you just referred to your suitcase as being half full as opposed to half empty. So we learned a little something.
You know, there you go.
Every little sentence. Celtics and Suns next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.